Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you could join us this morning. Well, I have a pretty important show planned for this morning, and we've talked about it before. It's about my friend who doesn't live in Florida, who has been living a complete nightmare. And now, 5 months later, she is still living a nightmare. She is still fighting for custody of her baby. And I think a lot of you may remember the story. And, of course, if you're on my Facebook page, you know that I've asked you all to sign petitions. We've all signed the petition several times. We've tried to move forward to help this young woman because what happened isn't right. Mind you, she's not, she realizes her blame in the situation. She's not trying to blame anybody else. She accepts responsibility. And along with accepting that responsibility, she accepts the responsibility of her child. The issue is, of course, way back when she was in trauma mode, after losing a dad, her dad that she was very, very close to, who was her her confidant and her support system, who apparently was, in the scheme of things, relatively wise about life and understood that, you know, he was the support system for his daughter. Well, he passed the same year that all of this happened. So Carrie was without counsel, a few friends and things like that, but she wasn't getting any support from her significant other for reasons that she doesn't find, you know, all that unbelievable. She made a mistake, and she was carrying another man's child. But it's her child, and in the duress, in the final moments before Camden was born, she was, I don't want to use the word coerced because it sounds like I know that for a fact, and I don't know that for a fact. It appears as though she was coerced. I've never spoken to this agency or to any of its representatives, but I do know that they're putting up a big fight. And they not only didn't give this newborn, beautiful baby boy to the adoptive family that had paid a lot of money for him because they gave him back when they realized that the birth mother was not in a good state of mind when all of this took place. They saw the writing on the wall. They saw what the future was going to bring for them, and it frightened them. They did not want to be in love with this beautiful little boy and then find out that they had to give him back to his birth mom. Plus that, because they're the kind of parents that you want to know are adopting children, they understood the connection between mother and child. Really, really understood it. So, of course, they felt that's where the baby needed to be. If mom really, really could take care of him, which she can, and has gotten herself to a place where she's not heartbroken and in duress. We've all been there, by the way. And during those times, sometimes we have to make life-altering decisions. It's not a good time to make them, but sometimes that's the way it goes. That's the way it happens. So she did what she did, and now she's fighting tooth and nail to get her baby back. Now, in the scheme of things, the world, such as it is, has found it necessary to pass judgment on her. Actually make her feel like she's really, really guilty of something. And let me say this. We are all guilty of something. We have all made mistakes. But these kind of mistakes, luckily for most of us, can be rectified. It doesn't have to stay a mistake. What bothers me is that somebody has set themselves in a position where they think standing their ground and having the right to keep this child, and apparently the court system is befuddled in regard to this as well. They are not sure what they should be doing at all. So I'm upset about this for obvious reasons. And I also feel like we need to really talk about this in length. I'm going to bring Shelley in. Carrie has just tried to call me on my cell phone, so I'm going to text her so that she knows what's going on. But I'm going to bring Shelley in so she can give her point of view on this. She knows the story. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey.
How are you?
Doing good. So Carrie is joining us this morning?
Well, she's supposed to, but she's called my cell phone. So if everybody will just hang on for a minute. Carrie, you've got to call the guest call-in number. It's 347-989. That's all right. This happens a lot. This is not the first time this has happened. Yeah. Yeah. 347-989-0352. All right, honey. Bye-bye. So, she's going to be calling in a second. But so I've kind of laid down the groundwork. Do you want to say anything in regard to this before we get Carrie on the phone, Shel?
Well, I mean, it'd be redundant. A lot of what I had said yesterday, I applaud her for having the courage and the integrity to decide to fight something like this. There's a lot of people that have been in her same position that have just accepted it, gone on with life with major regrets that they didn't try to fight the system, that they didn't know how, they didn't have the financial means, or they just didn't have the wherewithal to, you know, to try and fix this. So, you know, people make mistakes, people change their minds. It doesn't even have to be a mistake. People change their minds. Sometimes you decide to go into a venture, and then you change your mind, and you go in a different direction. And that doesn't mean that you're locked into into being unsuccessful or into not having a happy life. So it takes a lot of courage, though, to then turn around and say, look, I changed my mind. There's got to be a way to work this out. And if the other side is being unreasonable, unethical, being a bully, whatever, that you have the fortitude, which is what she has, the fortitude
yep.
to jump in there and say, no, there's got to be a way of fixing this, and I'm going to keep pushing until I find out how to make that happen, because, you know, I need to turn this situation around. So, you know, most people in her same situation would not have that fortitude and courage to go forward. So I applaud her for that.
Yep, me too. And she's joined us now. Hi, Care. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. We both kind of laid down a little bit of groundwork. I don't know if you've been able to listen to any of the shows so far, but I kind of gave, a rough rendition of everything that happened. And we would like, though, I would like for you to be able to tell everybody your story, condensed version, about everything that has happened. Now, I've already laid down the groundwork, and so has Shelley in her own words, that, things just happened, and they spiraled a little bit out of control. And when you realized that this isn't what you really wanted, I guess it's for the first time ever, because everybody's handling it so poorly, that that's really not what you wanted to do. So,
well, I didn't want to do it before that.
No, I know that. But
I never wanted
you had
to ever do it. I never wanted to ever do it. Yeah, I felt like I had to, but it wasn't something that I ever wanted, intended or wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that that's the whole point. And the problem is, as adults, we all do things every day we don't want to do.
So
we always take the accountability of all the other people that we care about come into the equation. And that's what you did. I've listened to this story several times now. And I hear it in your voice. You were not really thinking about Carrie. You were thinking of all of the outside entities and trying to make a decision that was going to keep everything copacetic. I do that every hour of every day for almost 66 years. Honest to God. Mm-hmm. I don't ever think about anything without the repercussions that it's going to cause on the people that I care about or who depend on me. Ever.
Right.
So that's what you did. And I get the fact that it's not what you did for you. I get that. It's what you did because you thought you had to, and because you thought that it was going to make everything easier on everybody else, but you were just going to eat the uneasiness for Carrie. That's it. So then when things changed and you made a decision that you probably with careful counseling would have made way before this, but you didn't get any careful counseling, even though that's not what's being said to you now, and somebody's history of their performance in their workplace has come into purview. And, of course, all the people that pay her says that, they say that she does a wonderful job and she's a master counselor and she's this and she's that.
She's only been a social worker for 3 years. I mean, that's people fail to realize. She's only been a social worker for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if she has a master's degree or not. 3 years.
Yeah, well, and like I said to you in the text I sent you, it's no longer, I don't think, about them. I mean, their performance speaks for itself.
I have to disagree. I'm sorry, Reedy, but
okay.
This is 100% about them and what they're doing to my son and what they've done to other people's children. But like what Shelley said, people didn't have the strength and the ability to keep fighting these people. I mean, my lawyers bring it up pretty often, and so do other people in my community, that in 30 years, this is never up against someone like me. And that he can match, and that's why the venom is so often for his hatred towards me.
Hey, Rainey? Rainey, let me interrupt. I can't hear anything Carrie's saying. I don't know if you're having the same issue, but I can't hear her.
Yeah, it is choppy. Are you someplace? You're probably on a cell phone, right, Carrie? Yeah, I think we've lost her completely. Well, we'll wait for her to call back in and see. Yeah, I lost her. The call was dropped. So, and, you know, let me say about what she just said. She does feel that they're in the crux of the problem. I don't disagree with that. When I say it's not about them, I mean it's not about them. Somebody with powers bigger than ours needs to do something about that organization, hands down. I think that for somebody like me, I can only talk about where my head was at when I first heard about this. I can be naive a lot of times because I judge other people by my own behavior. And I couldn't do anything like that to anybody, and it was hard for me to believe that this was commonplace. But what I've learned in the last 5 months is that it is. But the point I'm making, I have Carrie back. Are you back, honey?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Okay.
I'm sorry I lost.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right. That happens to us. But I want to say that when I say it's not about them, I don't mean it's not about their performance. I don't mean anything like that. Obviously, they're the ones that you should have been able to count on, and they should have done a proper job. Their job, in my eyes, is to fit families who want children with families who can't keep their children for whatever reasons. When a woman comes in under duress, you know, but has all the staples, has a home, already a parent, can do that. You answered a positive answer to every question they ask you that would have, if it were me, put up the signs that said, okay, I really have to do something with this baby because this poor girl can't deal with this. That's not what they had to have seen. So I don't mean that it's not that they're not responsible, honey. I just mean that now at this point in time, everybody should be looking at you and Camden, period, and then deal with the garbage later.
Well, but that's like almost an impossibility, Renee. We can't deal with the garbage later. The garbage has Camden. So we have to deal with the garbage now.
But you're missing my point. If they look at what's right now, they'll do what's right. If they just keep looking at what's wrong and trying to decipher what happened, how's that serving you?
Renee, let me put it in a different way. What we're trying to say is that one of the reasons this is dragging on is because GentleCare is basically trying to hold on to any monies that they got, and they are also, you know, they're trying to maintain their reputation and like strong arm this whole thing. They don't want to admit they made any mistakes. They don't want to, you know, have it out there that they did anything wrong. So instead of looking at what it should be about is just doing what's best for Camden. And obviously what's best for Camden is returning him to you, okay? But because the focus here is not on what's best for the child, which it should be,
right,
that's why it's dragging on. That's why it's turning him to a three-ring circus. You know, it's turning it to something it shouldn't be because people's focus is in the wrong place. The only consideration right now is best, and that's not being dealt with.
That's right. That's my point right there. That's my whole point. I'm not, and when I say dealing with the garbage later, once Camden is where he belongs, then somebody's got to step in and straighten this out, somebody with a lot more power than you have or your lawyers have or certainly that I have. Somebody's got to say, what in the hell is going on here? How can somebody get away with this? Because now we're seeing all of these friends that have come to your aid. I mean, they're telling story after story after story, aren't they? I mean, I get one on Facebook every day. And if I get into their websites, I'm blown away by some of the stuff that has happened to women and men, for that matter.
Right.
So it's outrageous, and something has to be done about it. But first, we need to bundle up Camden in his best blue blanket and get him back to his mom.
Right.
That's what
exactly.
has to be done first.
Exactly.
That's obviously what we're trying. And can I tell Shelly something that I told you yesterday? Is,
mm-hmm.
is that a, can you hear me, Shelly?
Yes, I can.
Is when we first initially lost in court a couple weeks ago, which was a shock to me and everyone, the way the judge ruled initially, we called General Care because they had asked us, they had told us a couple months earlier that they, the only reason they would not give me my son back was because they needed vindication in a court. So we called them 2 weeks ago after trial, and we said, you got your vindication. You know, this baby has special needs. He's sick. He needs to go home to his mom. Give him back to her. And they said no. Their reputation has been tarnished. They don't, you know what I mean? We've tried very hard to get them to look at what is going on with Camden. They've spent five times the amount that Camden is worth to them now being a sick child in legal fees fighting me. I mean, we're trying. You know what I mean?
Yes.
To get him. And it's not working. They're spiteful. They're angry. Because
I don't understand where the anger is coming from. It makes no sense to me.
Because I went public.
Because she defamed them.
I didn't defame them. That's illegal. I told the truth about them. And I exposed them. I didn't defame them. That's a harsh word. That's not allowed.
But that's what they're angry about, honey. That's
yeah.
what they think. They think that you made them look bad. We know they made themselves look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times defaming somebody is what it's all about, telling the truth. The point is whether or not you have the right to tell it. And I would say under the circumstances, you're the only one that does. I mean, you
right.
and other women that this has happened to.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
So what are the steps that are going to be taken next? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, we're filing. We've already filed an intent to file an appeal in the Court of Appeals here in Ohio. And as soon as we get the judge's written decision, we'll be filing our appeal, which is extremely strong. And we're very confident in the appeal court. The lower court, unfortunately, has a history of being, for lack of a better term, cowardly in making these decisions. So we're confident with the higher court, which will happen. It'll happen any day now. We'll file that appeal. We're just waiting on the court.
So after an appeal is filed, how many more months are we talking about? Do you know? Has anybody given you any guidelines with that?
No, the Court of Appeals will expedite it because we've already been there. But, you know, General Care has a history of trying to stall, so we can't really anticipate what they're going to do. It'll probably
wow.
be a few months.
Wow.
My new goal is Christmas, which is really sad. But.
Well, no, because several years ago, almost 2009, almost 5 years ago now, we set that goal, and we made it. We brought Michael home for the first time on
yeah.
Christmas Eve. So I think that's a good goal. I think that's a good goal, and that time will be here before you know it.
Exactly.
The other thing, though, that I'm concerned about is one of the petitions that we're signing has to do with some changing of laws. Am I right, Carrie?
Is it in there? Is that in Camden's petition?
Say that again?
Is that in Camden's petition?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Too much is going on. Wait, well, the laws do need to change. This is the reason the laws
For
need
sure.
to change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can give back a car or default on, you know, you can even give back a credit card and not have any penalty. I mean, it's shocking that, and that's what most people that are learning, I'm thankful people are becoming educated, that are educated people that aren't educated about this adoption stuff. It's shocking to people that as soon as you sign that paper, it's 0 days. You're done. You have no recourse whatsoever the second you sign that paper. And there's no way that it's possible that it can change. That has to change.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Well, I think we've all known that just by television and movies and things like that, that it's kind of one of those written in stone signatures through the years. But the point is that that's not feasible. I mean, how many movies have you watched where a young girl gives up her child and then changes her mind, and it's a very sad story, and once in a great while somebody steps in and says, okay, yes, you know, we found a loophole and you can do this and you can do that. So I guess somewhere out there loomed that truth for all of us. But like most things, until it happens to you personally, you don't really sink your teeth into it. You don't really understand the full gist of it. Because I've thought a lot about this, and I know a lot of people in my lifetime, and I could not, and I know people who have given up children. I know people who have found those children later. I know lots of stories in regard to this. This is the first time that I have ever heard a story quite like Carrie's.
And
I'm sure there's more. It's just that not everybody's Carrie. Not everybody's willing to, you know, put it out there and say, this is what I did, this is what happened, and this is what I want now. And she's stronger than most. So I'm sure there's other stories like this. And, of course, after, like I said, Claudia and a few of the other ladies, and one of them that lives right here in our neck of the woods, Shelley, who I've spoken to privately, she had to fight to get her child back as well. So it is going on. It is happening. But like so many of our antiquated laws, it needs to be changed. So I thought that one of the I've been trying to find it while I'm sitting here, and of course it's too far down in my on my page, but I'm going to go to my main page and see. It's the one that you that everybody posted. State Senator Jim Hughes helped return baby Camden home to Carrie. Isn't that link about changing some laws, honey?
Well, it's not just about changing laws. It's about my son coming back.
Well,
Senator Hughes is actually a senator in my state who I contacted early on, and he's contacted my lawyers throughout this process because he wants me, when I get my son back with him on the House floor, he wants me to help him change the law in Ohio and use my case as the reason why this law has to change.
Oh, wow.
So he's already very involved in my case, by comment, obviously being, you know, an elected official, and he's waiting to this for my case to resolve, my son to come home, and so he can change the law. He wants to personally, but so do my lawyers and other, like, politicians and elected officials in Ohio. This is outrageous.
So you do understand that this is how laws get changed, Carrie. What you're going through is horrific, and no mother, no parent should ever have to go through something like this. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. I hear the story, and I look at my nieces and nephews, and I can't imagine going through something like that. You know, so it really wells up emotion inside people in defense of you, wanting to see this come out properly. But the whole thing is that look throughout history. Look over the past 50 years. Most of the laws that have been changed is because something horrible happened to somebody, some crime or some injustice, but the same crime or injustice that happened to dozens or hundreds of other people, and yet this one individual chose to fight it and changed it for everybody going forward. So although this is personal, it's almost like there's two stories here. There's your personal story, which is what's important to you, getting Camden back. But then there's that second story, which basically in getting your situation where it should be, getting Camden back, making your family whole again, is also going to set a precedent for other people. So your personal battle, there's a bigger picture wrapped around your personal battle. So that's why I'm saying it's like two stories are running simultaneously here.
Right.
Well, and the other side of this issue that is, I think, possibly different from other places, even if somebody, even if something happens like this to somebody, I mean, I'm just imagining if a young girl, you know, breaks up with her husband or boyfriend or whatever, she's without, she has works at Burger King, you know, have this big scenario, and she makes a decision like this, and an adoptive family is waiting close by, and all the papers are signed, the husband comes back, you know, everything's going to be all right, and she changes her mind, and the couple that adopted the baby, they say, no, we're not giving the baby back. That's one
pathetic
scenario. Yeah.
There's a million. There's a lot of people doing that right now to people to keep their kids. It's really sad. It's got to take money.
Well, but at least you can understand the fact that another couple fell in love with the baby. At least you can,
I know, but
you
it's
can
not
have
their forever child. I don't understand it. It's not their forever child. You're going to have a child that grows up, knows that their family fought for them, and you kept them from their family, and you fought their biological family for them. A lot of these adoptees are growing up thinking they were kidnapped and completely leaving their adopted families behind because of betrayal. I don't agree with that. I think at the minimum there should be a year on anything happening with any adoption so that these foster families and adopted families don't feel that they're entitled to these children until it's free and clear and those biological parents are no longer anywhere in the picture.
And
that's,
you know, it's
fair
that you said that because I always thought it was at least 1 to 2 years. I mean, there's actually movies out there where you see, you know, a baby was with a family for a year or two, and then in the 11th hour, the natural mother decided that she wanted the baby back, and it, you know, was heart-wrenching for the adoptive parents and all that, you know, because they were like walking on eggshells for a year, wondering if they were going to have to give the baby back, you know.
The thing's all going in. They have free adoptive counseling. They go through months of home studies. They know going into these situations that there is a probability or a chance that these parents may come back for their children. So for these parents to hold on to these kids as though they own them when the biological parents want them back, it's disgusting to me. I'm sorry. Adoption, when you adopt, it's supposed to be your forever child. These are not your forever children. And anyone that does that to a biological family, to me, is disgusting. I get it's heartbreaking. I get it's difficult on them. But this is about these kids. And the first thing this country should want is children with their natural families, if it's possible.
Well,
I don't know.
I think you're very close to it. But you know, with all due love and respect, you are looking at it from a point of view of somebody who just had this happen to them, because
no, it's not
ever
same.
Since this happened, sometimes it has to be, Carrie. Sometimes it has to be. Sometimes it has to be the forever family. You're not looking at that side of it.
I'm looking. If there's let's just say I just got sentenced to prison for the next 30 years. It's understandable my child should be adopted, and that's their forever child. I mean, there is no excuse for, like, for instance, Grayson Bond, when he was 17 days old, his father came back and found out he had been given up for adoption. And at 17 days old, he told this agency, I want my son back. And he had been for 12 days with an adoptive family that wanted to adopt him. You know, that family in GentleCare fought him for 3 years. Tried to keep his son from him for 3 years. That is so wrong on so many levels that at 17 days old, when he said he wanted his son back, that he had to fight for 3 years to get him
right,
back.
Right, I agree with you on something like that. I agree
That's
with
what I'm talking
situation,
about.
And I agree with the guy who set up the 17 days. But
right.
I think people that adopt children aren't looking to be foster parents. They are looking for forever families.
That's right.
At this point, what you're going through is horrible, and it's an injustice, and it's immoral, as far as I'm concerned. But as far because I have friends that are adoptees, and the bottom line is they love their families and they were taken very good care of, and their adoptive parents are their family, you know.
Right.
So when you say somebody's going out to adopt a child, and there has to be a time when they have a sense of security that child is theirs, and whether it's
That's
a year
right.
or two, I do think there should be a length of time. I don't think it should be seven days.
Right.
I don't even think it should be 1 or 2 months. I think there should maybe be a year time frame. But at some point, that child has to be theirs. It has to become their family.
I agree, but there needs to be time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with that, absolutely.
So
I agree with
what
you're saying,
the point.
Too.
Yes, that's the point we're making. The laws need to be changed. There needs to be, somebody needs to assess all of these different stories, and there's a lot of them. And
mm-hmm.
they have to look and they have to say, what will make this work better for everyone concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Because, quite frankly, I mean, in my lifetime, I've taken in lots of kids. Never thought they were going to be mine forever. In most cases, really didn't want them to be mine forever. I wanted them to be whole within themselves, with their own mom and dad, with this, with all the things that go with it. However, if I was childless, and if I dedicated all my time, energy, and effort to taking in other people's kids, I'd be lying to everyone that's listening today if I said that it'd be okay with me, because it wouldn't be okay with me.
Right.
You see, so for me, there's always two sides to every story, Carrie, always two sides to every story. What has happened to you is horrific. That's why I support everything that you're doing. That's why I try to be there for you. It's horrific. And the laws need to change. But we do need to see. We do need to have a little bit. I mean, I've thought about, I saw pictures of the other foster family. My heart ached for them. It ached for them. They didn't do anything wrong. They went in search of a new baby. They went to a legitimate organization that said, yes, we can do this for you. Write us a check and we'll make sure you get what you want. I hate all that. I hate it. For me, it's like buying and selling human beings. I thought that was illegal. But anyway, that's a whole other issue. But I still feel like their sadness, their disappointment may not be as deep as yours because of the bond. I gave birth to 4 children. Nobody knows more than I do about the love of a child. Promise you that.
Yeah, I know.
But
there's nowhere even near what they suffered for those 14 days they had. My son is nowhere near.
Honey, you can't say that. You cannot say that.
Well, then I'm going to cordially hang
out. I mean, you
if
can
you're
say.
Compare, you, no, if you're going to compare their 14 days of sadness to mine is his mom and what they've done to me, then I'm going to cordially leave this conversation. That is offensive on every level. That they didn't even know they were getting him until the day after he was born. I mean, they had him for 14 days. That
yes,
is
but
nowhere
it's not,
near
it's
the
not
suffering.
About, it's not about comparing. I'm not comparing one hurt to another hurt. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. What I'm saying is they were wronged as well as you.
Yep.
Were they wronged on the same level? Probably not. Obviously, they've moved on because they're not fighting everything. But you still have to realize that if this happens time and again, you know, something drastic will happen to all the little babies that can't find homes to live in. That's why I don't understand any of this to begin with, because there are homeless babies everywhere, according to everything I read. I mean, yesterday I went to Faith Farm and spent an hour talking to the young people that live at Faith Farm. One boy said to me, beautiful young man, I'm going to guess he was, I don't know, 23, 24, said the happiest 14 months of his life since he moved into Faith Farm. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart. But
wow.
I know about all these kids that are out there. I know about all of them that are struggling. We don't want the other side of the story to be dropped. Just, you know, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a sense of fairness and some guidelines so this doesn't happen to anybody like what has happened to Carrie. It just, that's what has to be fixed. But I can't push under the table either, and I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying that a lot of people were hurt in this, a lot of people. As much as Carrie, I didn't say that, wouldn't say that, but a lot of people have been hurt with the mismanagement of this whole adoption scenario. And I hope that when we talk about this and all the people that have stepped up to support Carrie, that some things can be changed. That's why we do this show. We see
right.
a lot of unfairness on this show. I mean, I can't even talk about the things that are going on with Michael. I'm not allowed to. So
right.
there are extenuating circumstances that don't make sense to me at all. I'm pretty black and white, literally.
Right.
But it's still about everybody. This was terrible
well, and I'll tell you
for
something.
Everybody.
I love them. I hope one day to be able to meet them. Their name is Lloyd. I hope to one day meet the Lloyds that gave me back my son or gave the agency back my son because they didn't want to take a baby from their mother. That's the way
yeah,
people should
Yeah, I think
be.
They're awesome
and
people.
And they are one.
Absolutely.
It's their rarity. It rarely ever happens. And, yeah, God bless them for doing the right thing by my son.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to keep
mm-hmm.
a child knowing that he was taken like this either.
Me either.
So, yeah.
Not for anything.
No.
But I can feel some of their pain as well, is the point
yeah,
I'm making.
Yeah, I'm sure they're fine now. It's been 5 months. I'm sure they're fine
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it all depends on the people and it all depends on what else is going on in their lives, I'm sure. You can get over a lot of things if something else, you know, falls in your lap and comes your way. It makes everything a lot easier to heal. But the point is that when you have an organization that's set up to make these kind of decisions and can set the criteria on how it happens when you're playing with other people's lives, there has to be stricter guidelines. There has to be
right.
more information given so that this never happens again. This cannot ever happen again.
Right.
And as you've seen, I'm sure you've learned about more stories than even, you know, the rest of us have because people are sending you their stories, I'm sure, and telling
right.
you their stories. So something's wrong. When there's this many screw-ups, you know something's wrong and it has to be fixed. So I hope
right.
this petition, as I opened it up, I've opened it up before and signed the sheet and all that kind of stuff, but I think that, and everybody has a different story to tell. That's the other thing.
They've been reporting that on Facebook, general care, to have general care to try to take that petition offline. And it was upsetting when I found that out last night, but then one of the ladies told me it's a compliment because they're upset. They don't want this out there. They don't want the 750 people that have signed your petition to know about this. And they're angry, and it's hurting them, and it's hurting their business. It's what matters to them. So I guess we're doing something right. And
wow.
It's pretty humbling, too, though. If you read the petition, Sally, there's adoptive parents who have signed it that are outraged at what this agency has done to my child. I mean, there's no family. There's no one. He's sitting with people that he will not end up with. God forbid I don't get him back, he's going to be going to another family. A third family. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous.
I don't know.
Well, like I said, that's the whole idea of talking about this, having different opinions about everything is what changes things. It's what changes things. And this has to be changed. I feel this way about our legal system. I feel this way about our enforcement system. I feel this way about a lot of things that are going on. I had a call early this morning from Daniel, who's a regular on the show. He's running for city commissioner. He read what I wrote on Facebook this morning, and he's followed a little bit about the story of Camden. And this young man, his mother went to a third world country and adopted him and his twin brother when they were babies. Brought them back to the States. She's a teacher. She was very involved in not-for-profit organizations, started one herself to help adopted children, kids that are put in foster care and never find a forever home, and had a nervous breakdown. And when that happened to her, it took her boys and put them in the system because there was nobody else to take care of them.
All right.
And that has my friend Daniel with a future in politics. Why? Because he saw all the terrible wrong things that happened to his own mom. And I know that eventually he's going to get someplace and he's going to be somebody. Why? Because he's driven by what happened to him in his own life.
Right.
And his mom and his, actually even his grandma was, you know, affected by all of this. So I'm grateful for the conversations, and I'm grateful for the difference of opinions. Shelley and I talk about this all the time. Difference of opinion is perfect. If we agree with everything we each say, we're like the cows out in the field. Oh, you want to stand in this spot? Okay, I'll move over. Just hit me with your butt and I'll move. I don't want to be that person. I'm not a cow that stands in the middle of the field. I have emotions, I have feelings, and I have rights, just
right.
like all of us. And we have to start fighting for them. We have to start making ourselves heard so that people understand that the world is not the way we want it. People talk about bullying and unkindness. This, what happened to Carrie, is the biggest form of bullying I have ever encountered in my whole life.
Yeah, it's still shocking to me, the whole story.
Young people.
And it's, and that's all it is.
It's a baby at all. But it's something I honestly forget because I'm so detached from him that this is about a baby and not like a house or a car. I mean, it's shocking to me. Some days I just am like, am I losing my mind here? How is this seriously possible that this is happening to a baby?
Well, and how is it seriously possible that it's happened time and time again, honey?
Because they've gotten away with it time and time again.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that we keep talking and keep telling the whole story.
Yep.
It can't be, I don't know, it can't be any worse than this when it comes to having rights. It can't be any, but again, you know, I mean, in my lifetime, I had a friend whose husband kept trying to kill her and their two daughters. And he got away scot-free. Nothing happened to him. She got her kids taken away for a year and a half to keep them safe away
wow.
from her. I had to go to court. This is when I was quite young. I had to go to court, testify against him, tell the stories of how many times he tried to hurt them, and then I had to become a certified daycare mother because I was going to, my kids were little, and I wanted to help her, and she couldn't get them back and have her job unless she could prove that she had somebody that was suitable to take care of her kids. So they were allowed to come to my house. They were allowed to look at everything I did, and I became certified in the state of New York to be a daycare mother just so she could get her kids back. Now, how unfair was that? She didn't do a damn thing. He tried to hit us all one day with a car. this guy.
Oh, my God.
And nothing ever happened to him. Nothing ever. He didn't get put in jail. He didn't get fined. He never paid support. Nothing. So we're full of, you know, unfairness and stories that will blow your mind if you pay attention. You really
Can I
are.
Say something? I want to talk to Shelley about something really quick.
Sure.
Now, Shelley, there's people that are asking adoption by general care why they won't give me my son back. And, you know, one of them sent me the response that they received from general care. And
uh-huh.
I'm not going to read it. I've read it to Rainey. I'm not going to read it on
yep.
the air, but because my lawyers have it. They're telling people that I'm mentally ill, that I've been diagnosed with mental illness. Like, they're telling the sickest thing to these people to, you know what I mean? To defend
yes.
them keeping him from me. That's a big...
Well, what does your attorney say about that? Because that's illegal.
He's dealing with it right now. This just happened a couple of days ago. But that's how unethical and unprofessional and sick they are. That's what they're doing right now. We can't return this child to her because she's mentally ill.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, and obviously I've never been diagnosed with a mental illness, but even if I was, I still have 5 kids. I still haven't lost my children. I'm still a good mom. You know what I mean? And it's a violation of HIPAA. You can't talk about my mental health.
I mean, if it had to be
health.
Taken away from somebody because they were mentally ill, then nobody would be able to have kids. I mean, would we have hundreds of millions of people on antidepressants
yeah.
and things like that? That's considered a mental illness. So being mentally ill doesn't mean anything. Because there's a lot of mental illnesses that are temporary, that are not a permanent condition because somebody just went through something. So putting that the blanket comment out there is just for shock value, and it's
mm-hmm.
for defamatory reasons, and it's illegal. It's illegal to
yeah.
do that, an upper hand. So the fact that they put that in print is almost as offensive as it is, and I can't even think of a strong enough word other than offensive. But it's you have written proof now of how
yeah.
unethical this company is.
Yeah. Well, we have their testimony, too, their, like, transcripts and stuff, the trial. But, yeah, we just got it a couple of days ago. My lawyers have it now. And it's disappointing,
oh.
but I'm, like, not naive, but I sit there and ask my lawyer. I'm like, if these are the reasons that they're keeping him from me, why isn't someone going and getting my son back from them? Like, where is the person that's walking into general care and saying, give me back this child? You are not capable of having custody of this child because you're using him as a pawn to punish
yeah.
your mother, and that's not acceptable, and we're not going to put up with it. I'm waiting for that person to go get my son. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yep. Very good point.
It's frustrating.
Well, so where are you now? You're filing the appeal. Let's kind of summarize a little bit because we're almost out of time. You're filing the appeal.
Yeah.
That should take a few months. You've set a goal for Christmas, which is a great goal.
Right.
And is there, you may not have an answer for this, but is there any chance that gentle care or somebody representing gentle care, a lawyer or whatever, could walk up and say, you know what, we don't want to fight with this lady anymore. If the courts think that the baby should go back home, you know, we're not going to keep fighting this battle. Is there any chance that something like that could happen or has too much water gone under the bridge?
No, obviously, gentle care, every single day that goes by, has the opportunity to right this wrong and do the right thing. They are choosing not to, but they anytime can do the right thing and resolve this and allow my son to be in a home where he belongs and not in limbo, and for them to salvage at least a tiny bit of what they have left of a horrible reputation. I mean, my lawyers told him then, what better PR could you ever get than to give back a baby that you didn't have to, but you knew it was the right thing to do? They could do it any
yeah.
time. They're choosing not to, but they could do it anytime.
Right.
Well, I hope anybody listening out there today has paid close attention, and if you have any information that will help Carrie, any input that would be beneficial advice, you can always call the show and talk to me at 347-989-0352. You can friend me on Facebook, and we will talk about what's going on, and if you have any valid advice, we'd like to hear it.
Thank you.
I kind of remember way in the back when we first started talking about this, isn't there a general care here in Florida someplace?
No, but they were bailed out by American Adoptions, which is in Indiana, and American Adoptions has an agency in Florida. So they're sisters.
Oh, that's what it was.
Basically. They're sisters under American Adoptions.
Interesting.
But they're sisters. You know what I mean? They're related. They're under the same boss, basically, American Adoption.
And how does that work? Are adoption agencies totally self-funded, or do
they're
they get grants? Really?
Nonprofit. Yeah, this one's a nonprofit.
Really?
If you can believe that. Yeah, General Care is a nonprofit. I don't think they will be for long now, but yep, they're a nonprofit.
And you know for a fact that they carry a 501c3, because you can be nonprofit without a 501c3. Okay,
yes, they do.
Cool. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Well, we thought some of the entities we know about, it's kind of ludicrous that they're not for profit, right, Shell?
Yep.
This is outrageous. What is the average cost? Is it $30,000 or is it more than that when they ask to adopt a newborn in good health? Especially, I know there's differentials about race as well.
Well, you pay like $13,000 to do home study and all this background stuff and all these things, dental care. You pay $13,000. And then the day you get placed with a child, like Camden, this family didn't pay anything. They didn't even know Camden existed until the day after he was born. So they weren't out any money on me, $0. But they had to pay $17,000 the day that they picked him up. So $30,000 was how much in all they paid. And when they gave him back, mm-hmm. they only got $17,000 back. They lost $13,000.
Wow. And how do they, well, that's probably for processing and all that kind of stuff, right? They have some legal way of bouncing that off the books. Well, I will stay in touch with Carrie, and as things progress, whenever she can come on the show, she's always welcome to come and share in case there's anybody out there. Again, if you have valuable information, we'd like to hear it. If you have any ideas, and certainly if you're in a position, if you are or someone you care about or are really close to is in a position to be able to help with a scenario like this, you know, you can use Renee's Heart to Heart as a forum to tell everybody about it. I'd be happy to have you. So everybody, though, go out and have a great, great weekend.
Thank you.
And you're so welcome, honey. Please, you know, we're all going to hold Christmas because, like I said, that worked with Mikey. And he, you know, he was a part of that, too, so it was kind of cool. So let's keep that energy out there that by Christmas, Camden will be home with his really, really adorable family. I wish you could all see all the pictures of Carrie's kids because she's got a couple. Their smiles are just like, oh, my God, who wouldn't want to eat them right up? So God bless everybody. Have a great, great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday. Bye-bye.
Great.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks, Renee. Thanks, Carrie. Glad you called in.
Bye-bye, honey.
Bye-bye.